Humble yourselves. what selfish desires, selfish efforts, and selfish prayer. He said those are the problems. Those are the problems that cause strife for God's people. It'll cause division within among people. It'll cause division in churches. And it'll cause division in yourself. In your very own being, it'll cause division. But the root of it is this selfishness. Whereby, how's that tie in with what I said my theme was? My theme is submitting unto God. When we submit unto God, all that selfishness will go away. All that thinking about self will go away. But as soon as we neglect to submit ourselves to God, that fleshly nature will come in, and we'll begin having selfish desires. That's what he's talking about. The lusts of war in your member. Because we want to be right. We want to have our way. We want other people to see things the way that we see it, whatever it might be. Many of us, much of the strife that comes within our own lives is because we have selfish desires for things in this world, whether it's material things, whether it's glory, whether it's honor, whether it's whatever it might be. We desire after these things, and it wars within our members, and it causes conflict between the inner man and the outer man. Selfish desires spurred on by our own lusts, our own desires. Now, that lust, again, does not just mean of a carnal or I should say, sexual nature. It means of any inordinate desire. That's what lust is. Any inordinate or overwhelming desire for something to gratify the flesh is a lust. He said, we all have that, but as we give over to it, it begins to cause wars and fighting and strife among us. And again, specifically what he was talking about was how it manifested in factionalism and people fighting amongst one another. And listen, we've got that among old-fashioned Baptist churches, don't we? You all know that. We've got fighting amongst churches and factions. People think, some people say you can't have baptistry. Some people think it ought to be grape juice or wine or open communion or close communion, closed communion. All these different things, you know, break up over it. Some church over here brought somebody in on a letter. They used to be a member of this other church that 30 years ago there was something there. You all know the different issues. What causes that? I say it doesn't have anything to do with zeal for God. Because zeal for God would produce wisdom and peaceable, gentle, and treating, all those things that he says up in 17:18. If we truly had a zeal after God, that's what we would see. Not factionalism and strife and splitting off and all these other things. That comes from selfish desires. What else does he say? Selfish efforts. He said, ye lust and ye have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Fight a war, yet ye have not. Now, it's hard to believe that maybe I don't know what he's talking about. Literally, they were trying to kill each other, or that they just were getting so selfish that they had those thoughts in their mind. But listen, we might say, well, none of God's people would ever do that. Oh, wouldn't they? David killed a man because of the lust of his heart, didn't he? Yeah, he did. any thought at all the places he drug her on the mission field, how difficult life had been, following him around and working for the Lord and all these things. And he thought it would be selfish of me to ask that the Lord would give her back. She'd be better off to go on to glory. He said they couldn't, so they couldn't pray. One way they couldn't pray is that all I could do was just pray, Lord, you know what I need. You know what I need. That, see, that's an example. What I'm saying is there's an example of someone realizing that even something as simple as praying, Lord, heal my wife, that might be a selfish prayer. That might not be what's best for that person. That might not be what's best for God's glory, but that might be what's best for us. And we do that sometimes, don't we? I'm not saying every time we pray for somebody that's sick, it's selfish. I'm throwing that out as an example. Sometimes we pray selfishly. We don't even really realize so because we haven't sought the Lord's desire in something, we haven't sought the Lord's will in something first. Lord, what's your will in this thing? Lord, help me that I might be able to understand your will. Lord, that I might be at peace with your will. Lord, whatever it is, God, those type of things. So we can pray selfishly when we do pray. It's that all of these things are what causes strife. Strife in our lives, strife with other people, strife within ourselves because we're not submitting to the righteousness of God, but yet we are trying to fulfill our own lusts. We get into the fourth verse. Here he went, I mean, the thing about James is you can see, this is maybe one of the reasons the scholars think this was a very early letter. You can see a very heavy Old Testament influence. James writes the manner of those prophets of old. I mean, he just tells it like it is. He doesn't pull any punches. You think of Isaiah or Ezekiel or Jeremiah or something. They just come out guns blazing with on fire for the Lord to tell people the way that it really is. And that's kind of what James does here. He said, ye adulterers and adulteresses. That's strong. That's a strong way for him to refer to other Christians, but he's just telling it like it is. Now, on the one hand, he's probably talking about spiritual adulterers and adulteresses. And I hope you all recognize that idolatry is spiritual adultery. Any time that we put something else before God, and especially when we put our own lusts, our own desires, our own will before God, it is adultery. We are wedded. You are wedded to Christ Jesus. When He saved your soul and redeemed you from hell, severed the bonds of sin, He purchased you unto Himself. Each and every one of us that are children of God, bought by the blood of the Lamb, are wedded to Him. We are His spouse. And when we put something before Him, we are committing adultery. That's why James uses the language that he's using. He's trying to shake them loose to get them to understand how serious this is, how horrible this sin of idolatry or covetousness. That's what covetousness is, too. It's when we're unhappy, unsatisfied with the things that the Lord has given us, and we say, yeah, but I like this other thing, God. Spirit of covetousness is adultery. He's putting something before the Lord. He says, you adulterers and adulteresses. But you know, I have to touch on this as well. It's not just spiritual adultery. He's talking about, I'm sure, adultery in the actual literal sense as well. Now, that might not have been as much a problem among the Jewish audience as it was for Paul in his Gentile audience. But it was a problem among Jews as well. It was a problem that they had twisted the law up to the point that they could We don't have those hard conversations and people and they're going out and we know. Man, most of you in here are old enough to understand the problems that that causes later in life, not just in their spiritual life, but in all the other problems in life that that kind of living will cause down the road. And so we cannot discount that actual adultery was going on.
Love us.
scripture.